Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We've got a couple of big stories when it comes to social media and your data. The Federal Trade Commission announced today that it's launching a probe into Facebook's use of private information from users' profiles. Also, NPR is reporting that Facebook officials will appear before both House and Senate Judiciary Committees tomorrow. Plus, we've got news that Cambridge Analytica announced today that it has suspended CEO Alexander Nix. Now, all of this comes after the New York Times and the London Observer reported in a blockbuster set of investigations that Cambridge Analytica, a London-based data analytic firm, gathered information from over 50 million Facebook profiles without the permission of those users. And then the firm used the data they had collected to help target users for the Trump campaign in the 2016 presidential election. Cambridge Analytica has written in a statement that the company, quote, strongly denies the claims made by their work by the Times and other news organizations. But those claims come from a man named Christopher Wiley, the man who developed and executed the plan to harvest user data that Cambridge Analytica used. He told the UK's Channel 4 exactly how the company weaponized user information.
We spent almost $1 million doing this. It wasn't some tiny pilot project. It was the core of what Cambridge Analytica became. It allowed us to move into the hearts and minds of American voters in a way that had never been done before.
Now, this series of stories and investigations has, of course, reignited the debate over Facebook's use of user data, over user privacy, and concerns about exactly what motivates the company when it comes to how it uses or lets others use your data. Hiawatha Bray, technology writer for the Boston Globe, brought up some of these issues in his column today, headlined Facebook's Mentality, Anything for a Buck, and Hiawatha joins us now. Hello there, Hiawatha.
Hello.
Okay.
Glad to be here.
Do you feel a little better now that we have the House and Senate Judiciary Committees talking to Facebook? We have Alexander Nix suspended from Cambridge Analytica. Do you think we're on the mend in terms of how Facebook lets companies use its data?
Well, it's hard to know. I mean, the thing is, you have to remember, and let's be perfectly fair to Facebook, a lot of this is based on stuff that happened years ago. And I think that's very important to note. Facebook, back in the, like, around 2014 timeframe, had this really interesting setup where companies could actually not only get information about people, for example, a company could create an app, and people who use this app would give information about themselves. But that same app would allow the company to get information about the person's friends. And so they could end up scooping up gigantic amounts of information, millions and millions of people's information. Since 2015, Facebook stopped doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of what's going on here is stuff that Facebook did years ago. And I think, in all fairness to the company, this has to be said. Another thing has to be said. Did you see what came out from a former member of the Obama campaign?
Yeah.
Did you read that story? It turns out that they were getting access to Facebook data in the 2012 election about literally everybody in the United States.
Right. They were amongst the first to really use that information
politically. That's
right.
We have to understand that the difference with what happened with Cambridge Analytica was that these guys got the information under false pretenses. They claimed that it was being used for academic research. But if you look in terms of what they were actually doing, they were doing the same thing that the Obama administration had been doing, or the campaign had been doing, back in 2012. So this is not a new thing.
Okay, so Hiawatha then, I mean, what's the problem?
Well, the big problem, I think, is that Facebook shouldn't be giving this kind of sensitive information to any of these guys. I think it's pretty ridiculous that they're handing out so much of our data to people for this purpose. And also, there is the larger issue of whether or not any one company can safely be entrusted with this much knowledge. I mean, if you think about it, these guys have files on literally one quarter of the world's population.
Yep.
There has never been a government on Earth that has known that much about that many people.
Yeah.
And they're not accountable for it.
Hiawatha, let me just jump in here. So for anyone who's
an obsessive
Radio Boston listener, they've probably heard me really rail about this in the past because, look,
yeah,
I'm not technophobic, but when it comes to the power that these companies wield because of the information that we are giving them, I've been extremely dubious about it for quite some time. And I have to say, I feel like we've arrived at a point that a lot of people have seen coming. But the question is, what to do about it? I mean, Facebook's entire business model revolves around the possession of this information. As you said, about 25% of the world's population. That's how they're making their money.
Absolutely. And it's really worrisome because, frankly, I'm worried about it, too, and I'm not sure what to do about it. The instinctive reaction of a lot of people is that the government has to do something. But what exactly? Obviously, I mean, some people say they should regulate Facebook, but I don't think I'd want that kind of information under the control of any government. And also, of course, whose data would they regulate? Facebook is an American company with huge amounts of information about people in France. Do we get to regulate that information, too? The regulatory challenges posed by a company like this are quite unlike anything we've ever seen before.
But we have to rise to that, though, right? I mean, like,
yeah,
look, many
I think
other
we're
major
going to have to.
Many other industries that touch everyone have been regulated by the federal government because we have collectively, as a society, decided that that's the only way to assure some sort of accountability.
Yeah, but the mouth flip. I'm going to turn it over on the flip side, though. What happens if you have a situation like what they're proposing to do in Europe, like in Germany, where they're basically saying, we're going to fine you millions of dollars if you don't take stuff off of this platform that we here consider hate speech, or if you don't delete something that might embarrass somebody about something they did 20 years ago, the so-called right to be forgotten. And in American context, we look at that and say that's a violation of individual liberty, and European countries are trying to impose that kind of value on an American company. And that's scary, too. It's a really worrisome problem. Do we want other countries requiring us to meet their standards, which in terms of speech and civil liberties are much lower than the American standard, which says, hey, almost anything goes. So how you regulate it without stepping on each of these landmines is something nobody's figured out
yet. I mean, maybe it's a process, right? I mean, like, yeah, that's what the courts are for. The federal government creates some laws, it gets pushed back, courts decide what's right, what works and what doesn't work. I don't think there's any quick fix here, but the idea that we can sort of just leave things to the wild west of Silicon Valley to make all the decisions doesn't leave me feeling terribly confident.
And I agree. And I think that's exactly right. And one of the most interesting things about this whole phenomenon is the fact that this has now become a growing scent right across the political spectrum. People on the left, people on the right. I mean, even people who are on the political right, who traditionally very, very reluctant to have the government regulate stuff. The conservative magazine National Review actually ran an article saying, let's treat Facebook and Google as public utilities and regulate them the way we used to regulate the phone company. That was a shocking article, but it shows
they're not the first
to
say that, but they may be the first from that end of the political spectrum to say so.
Exactly. Everybody is starting to notice this. These guys have almost unchecked power over vast quantities of information. But it's worse, because here's the other thing you have to remember. It isn't just that they know everything about us. It's that they're the people who tell us what we need to know. When you go to get information, chances are, for many of us, the first places you go get it are Facebook and Google. All they have to do is change their software, and what you know about the world changes, because you'll never see the things they don't want you to see. They've got that power, and we got to figure out how to deal with it.
Well, Hiawatha Bray, are you going to delete your Facebook account? What are you going to do in the interim?
I'm thinking about it, and I'm writing about it right now. I don't think we should. I think actually people should have Facebook accounts. You should keep your own Facebook account, because the real issue isn't whether you have an account. It's what you put in it. If you are very selective in what you put in your Facebook account, having one is not a problem. And in fact, you probably should have one, because it keeps somebody else from creating a fake one in your name. But what you put in it, you should be very, very careful.
Well, just out of full disclosure, 3 years ago, I deleted my Facebook account, and I honestly felt entirely liberated. But
did you put it back?
A couple years after that, I did, but only I created a new one, a brand new one, like fresh and clean, only because it's a powerful organizing tool in a lot of sort of parents groups, for example, that I joined organized through Facebook. So I created a new account, I only log in a couple of times a year and just check things out. I don't actually post anything, and I think that's a happy medium right now.
I think that's the way a lot of us are going to go. I mean, I'm basically saying to people, don't get rid of your Facebook account, but consider using it a lot less for a lot less sensitive stuff, or being less revealing about who you are and what you think on your Facebook account. But even that could have interesting consequences, because if fewer people use Facebook and the company makes less money, what does that do to the U.S. economy? This is one of the biggest sectors of the U.S.
economy.
Yeah,
but I mean, they would have to be millions and tens of millions of people before we saw that deleting their Facebook.
Hey, if they keep this up, it's going to happen because people are getting scared.
Yeah. Well, Hiawatha Bray, from now on, I'll just signal you via semaphores from the WBUR studios to the Boston
Smoke
Globe
signals.
Office.
Smoke signals.
Hiawatha Bray is technology reporter for the Boston Globe. It's always great to have you, Hiawatha. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks a lot.